Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. You know that performance counts, so put your pension in the hands of our experts. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoin on RTE Radio 1.
Now, as I say, Monday is December 1st, so we can't resist Christmas anymore. There will be entire channels of Christmas movies everywhere, but what about the non-Christmas Christmas film, thin on tinsel, but laden with nostalgia for Christmases past? We're joined now by Dave Hanratty of the Irish Independent and the No Encore podcast to take us through some non-Christmas Christmas perennials, and we might sneak in a few Yuletide classics there as well. Dave, you're very welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well. David, let's start. We asked listeners to send in their nominations for their favourite Christmas movies. All the Indiana Jones movies. That's ones we do look forward to always this time of year. And this one, Die Hard.
It's that, obvious you're not some dumb schmuck up here to snatch a few purses. Am I right?
You're very perceptive.
I watch 60 Minutes. I say to myself, these guys are professional. They're motivated. They're happening, i.e. they want something, huh? Now, personally, I couldn't care less about your politics. Maybe you're pissed off at the camel jockeys, maybe it's the Heaves, Northern Ireland. It's none of my business. I figure you're here to negotiate, am I right?
You're amazing. You figured this all out already.
Now, is Die Hard now officially a Christmas movie?
Oh, yeah, it has been forever. I'm actually amazed that there was even a debate about this. So the film is set on Christmas Eve at a Christmas party. There's Christmas music playing. Our hero, John McClane, is going home to spend Christmas with his family. There's references to Santa Claus. I really like what? How did we ever find ourselves thinking that this wasn't a Christmas film? It is.
I don't know, the violence, maybe. Maybe the violence that...
I mean, Christmas, we want it to go perfectly. It doesn't always. Like, there's often a row at the dinner table. I think we've all been there. But yes, you could argue that it's very non-traditional in that way. But I would say, actually, it's a fable. It's a fable about the perils of greed and the power of hope. I'm being a bit deliberately pretentious there. But at the same time, it's not Christmas for me and for many, many people, unless I'm watching Die Hard on Christmas Eve. It just isn't.
Okay, now here's another controversial one, because I know people who absolutely despise this movie. Love, Actually.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those people. I kind of feel like it's a love it or hate it one, but at the same time, you see it packed out in the cinemas every single year now. It's become its own kind of weird industry. It has a very, very strange second life. And I'm always a bit surprised by this. I'm always wondering what it is about this film. Granted, there's a million different stories happening, but if you really, really break them down, they're not always that happy. It's not even always that festive. This is a film that begins with Hugh Grant talking about 9/11. And for some reason, that means people are going to sit around the fire and go, ah, it's Christmas now, we're having a great time. The resurgence of this film is a true phenomenon, but everyone flocks to it, everyone loves it. I found myself forced to watch it, and I still find myself being the Grinch in the corner, being like, I'm sorry, guys, this film doesn't work, it's a total mess.
Yeah, it does have that extraordinary moment where Emma discovers that the present is not for her. That's probably one of the most powerful scenes in it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, you also have like the breakdown of kind of poor Emma Thompson's whole storyline, where she's being cheated on by Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman, they're making it into both this and Die Hard, by the way, and I absolutely adore Alan Rickman, and he is much missed. So it's kind of weird the hold he has on Christmas. But I don't know. I just don't know if it's for all the family. I think it does get into those kind of really, really odd, difficult adult themes. And if you're a couple having some struggles, maybe it's not the film to go for.
Indeed, yeah. Now, we did ask our listeners, 51551 or 087-032-3232. Do keep coming in with nominations on there. You nominated one that I raised my eyebrows. Let's have a little quick listen to this clip from LA Confidential.
Patchett had Sid Hudgens photographing prominent businessmen with hookers. Charges were dropped. Insufficient evidence. You were the supervising officer on that case, and I was wondering if you remember anything about it.
What's this all about, Boyle?
Part of it has to do with a murder. I've been working with Ed Exley on it.
You're a narco, Jack, not homicide. Since when do you work with Edmund Exley?
Well, it's a private investigation. I messed something up. I'm trying to make amends.
Don't start trying to do the right thing, boyo.
Don't start trying to do the right thing, boyo. So, yes, that's obviously Kevin Spacey in there on LA Confidential. You see this as your Christmas go-to movie?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I will say, I'm glad you picked that clip because we can round on poor James Cromwell's Irish accent, which I think is quite questionable. I think if we're being charitable, like, he's really going for it. He's a line about, oh, I wouldn't trade places with him for all the whiskey in Ireland at one point. And you're like, oh, my God. But the reason I picked this one is because, first of all, yes, it's set at Christmas, but I would argue that Christmas is pivotal to the narrative in this one. There's a whole sequence in the police station where the cops are maybe drinking a bit too much at the office Christmas party. I'm not going to accuse anybody of ever doing such a thing. But then they get into a brawl in the holding cells. There's journalists on hand. They take a front page and they call it Bloody Christmas. And from there, the events of the film drive forward. So I think if you don't have Christmas in this film, the plot does not play out the same way. It's one of the best thrillers ever made. It's so rewatchable. As a matter of fact, just hearing that clip now makes me want to go home and watch it again. But I will try and wait until Christmas week.
There's a couple of classics and we threw in here. Muppets, Christmas Carol, Elf, one of my absolute favourites. And of course, It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah.
Yeah, these are all classics. And in fairness, they're undeniable. Like, this is what happens with these. Like, the Muppets one is really interesting because you now have a much younger generation going to see it in the cinema. And it's brilliant. It's fun for all the family. But at the end of that film, you get that famous line where he says, oh, and Tiny Tim, who did not die. And everyone thought that that's just the thing that the film did. Then they read the book and go, oh, right, that's actually a line that's taken directly from the original text. But the way it's delivered in the film is so funny and kind of weirdly iconic in its own way. That, yeah, I'm always delighted to see like crowds spilling out with that one at Christmas. You love Elf. I'm controversial. I have to say, I turned it off after an hour, Katie. I couldn't get through it.
Oh my God, Dave, wash your mouth out.
I'm so sorry.
It's one of the absolute classics in our house. What about Christmas horror films?
Yeah, a weird subgenre, I will say, and I love horror. I'm a big fan, so I'm glad to get the chance to talk about it. There's a film from the 70s called Black Christmas, and it's essentially a slasher film. It's kind of about a guy making these terrifying phone calls to a house full of young women, and then there's Christmas-themed, you know, mayhem occurs, and it's all very unpleasant. I watched it for the first time a few years ago, and I was surprised to see just how effective it is, given it's 50 years old at this point. The phone calls are legitimately frightening. There's been a couple of remakes. They're not as good, but like a Christmas-themed horror is a good idea. And I will say, and this is not for the squeamish and definitely not for the kids, there's been a recent phenomenon called Terrifier. It's about a clown who, you know, goes on his merry way doing bad things to people. And the third one, which came out last year and smashed box office records, is in fact where the clown decides, you know what, I'm going to be Santa Claus now. So like I say, not for everybody, but if you're like me and you want to go a bit alternative, maybe give it a go.
Rightio. Okay. I might skip that one, Dave, if you don't mind, but...
I don't blame you. It's not for everybody.
Okay. Listen, thanks for joining us. That's Dave Hanratty there, and we will talk again. But since we're on the topic of movies, be still our beating hearts, because Alexander Skarsgård will be on Arena this evening speaking about his new film, Pillion, which tells the story of a romance between a mild-mannered parking attendant called Colin and Ray, a handsome biker who sweeps him off his feet in a manner of speaking. So that will be on Arena here on Radio 1 from 7 o'clock.